In Messianic congregations like ours and in Jewish circles, we sometimes tend to minimize the impact and importance of the secular New Year, because sometimes we tend to give prominence to our religious New Year of Rosh Hashanah, which comes in September, October. Yet it is a fact that the world works on a January to December calendar years, and in fact, in many ways, so even do we. Our income tax returns, for example, are filed according to their tax year, which runs on a January to December calendar year. Our budget here at Beth Messiah is also running on a January to December calendar year. And given that we have entered upon the new year of 2016, I thought that it might be apropos to turn our hearts and minds to that time-honored tradition of New Year resolutions. Okay? Now, I don't know how many of you have made New Year resolutions. You know, I know that few of us ever end up faithfully sticking and adhering to the New Year's resolutions that we make. And I wonder how many of us even make it through January alone, you know, before we end up abandoning our resolutions. Yet beside that caveat, I believe that it is not a bad thing to do to make New Year resolutions, particularly if and when they are of a spiritual nature, or if they involve our walk with God. Have you thought about a New Year resolution? I know that many of us don't even bother anymore because it's so frustrating because we have a hard time living up to them and sticking to them. But that doesn't mean that they're not worth making, especially when it comes to the spiritual life. So this morning I thought that I would speak on something relevant to our lives in the coming year, something that will encourage us to move forward in our faith walks and lives. How can you and I draw closer to God in the year 2016? Okay, or maybe I should first ask the question, are we even intent on that? Is that even a thought that occurs to us at this time? Do we even find that to be an intriguing and tantalizing prospect and possibility for us this morning? Well, if you've grown cold in your faith, don't feel bad, don't feel excluded, don't feel left out, because there's hope for each and every one of us. Our lives and relationships with God can be transformed and turned around in an instant. God is ever waiting for us with open arms. With God, there is always hope. He will always receive us. Well, a passage which really speaks to me about making strides forward in the new year is Luke chapter 5 and verses 27 to 32. And I believe that this passage has much to offer us in the way of a new year resolution. It is a passage that records the call of Levi. And by the way, you probably know Levi better by his other name, Matthew. Okay? He's, in fact, the author of the first gospel by his name. And what this passage really emphasizes this morning is the call to discipleship. Now, like it or not, you and I, if we have trusted Yeshua as the Messiah, we are disciples of his. And we are all in various stages of our walk, growth, and discipleship. And let me let you know this. While we were saved when we exercised faith in Messiah Yeshua, there was a moment of salvation, if you will, even though we were predestined for it by God in eternity past. Nevertheless, we are saved in an instant, but we are on a road to discipleship. Discipleship is a road. It is a journey. Some are beginners. Some are advanced. Most of the rest of us are somewhere in between. But not one of us has yet arrived. Spiritual growth is a continual process. It is something about which we must be diligent as well as intentional. Otherwise, it ain't going to happen. Messiah has called us to a life of growing discipleship. So my question this morning is, can 2016 be a year that we make forward strides for him? And I think we can. And so would you turn with me to Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. It's an excellent passage about discipleship. We see various aspects of discipleship revealed in this passage. And so would you look with me at Luke chapter 20, five, verses 27 to 32. After that, he, namely Yeshua, went out and he noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he left everything behind and he got up and he began to follow him. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house. And there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with them. Well, the Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners?" And Yeshua answered and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, I want you to notice the first call or the first aspect of discipleship that we see in these few verses, and that is that discipleship is a call to follow. Yeshua went out, and it says he spotted or he noticed a tax collector named Levi, or Matthew again, as I said earlier. So Levi was this tax collector who was sitting in a tax booth, and tax booths were typically set up along major trade routes. Okay, and they were set up to collect tolls, tariffs, and taxes on goods that were coming into the area to be sold. Now, Levi's tax booth may very well have been in Capernaum. Tax collectors, by the way, were one of, if not the most, despised classes of people in Israel. They were socially ostracized and hated. Not only did they collect taxes for the hated Romans and the Roman oppressors and overlords, all right, who occupied the land, which was already bad enough, by the way, but they were also not known for being very morally upright. Okay? They associated with the Romans and other sinners, and so they were thought to be morally and ritually unclean, but more commonly, they were also thought to defraud people, and they were guilty of price gouging. So they would collect more taxes than they really ought to have. Okay? So they were hated. They were one of the most despised class of people in Israel. In fact, there's an account in Luke's gospel, you might remember, about the tax collector, namely Zacchaeus, which is found in Luke chapter 19. And one of the evidences that Zacchaeus gives of his salvation is that he actually offers to make restitution for all that he had defrauded, all of his wrongdoings. And so typically, tax collectors were not the most morally upright in Israel. Okay? They were known for dishonest practices. Yet Yeshua here in this passage tracks him down. Now, our text, if you were reading along with me in the New American Standard Bible, the word that it used was, it says, Yeshua noticed Levi. But it's not the usual word that is used for seeing people. In fact, it is a stronger word than that. It actually indicates that Yeshua was specifically looking for him. He singled him out. And by the way, if indeed you are among the saved and the called, God very deliberately sought you out too. And Yeshua engages Levi with two piercing, penetrating words. He says, "Follow me." That's all he says. But it was enough. You see, when Yeshua speaks, when Yeshua calls, people listen and come. I'm almost reminded years ago, I don't know if they were a Canadian outfit or in particular, or if they had branch offices here in the United States, but I grew up in Canada, of course, and there was this major accounting firm and investment firm. They were called E.F. Hutton. Remember them? And it says when E.F. Hutton speaks, when they give investment advice, what? People listen, right? More so with Yeshua. When Yeshua calls, people listen. When Yeshua says, "Follow me," people listen. And that's exactly what happened with Levi here in that passage. Because did you notice? It said he got up and began to follow Yeshua. And the original language is very instructive here. Literally it reads, "And leaving everything behind, he got up and began following him." So how did Levi begin to follow Yeshua? Question, answer, by leaving everything behind and by getting up from his tax booth. And by the way, the tenses in the Greek text, in case you're interested in such things, are also instructive because the verb translated leaving behind is in what is known as the aorist tense, if you will. Namely, Levi's act of leaving everything behind was a simple, completed action. It was a crisis moment, a decisive break with his past. He got up. He plumb got up. Think of it that way, if you will. Okay? And he decided then and there that he would leave his past life of tax collecting, of fraudulent business practices, right? Of a questionable life, of a morally unscrupulous life. He left it all behind. He made a decisive break with his past. And then it says he began to follow him. And by the way, here too, the tense is a little different. It doesn't only say that he followed him, but it says that he began to follow him. So it was the beginning of a regular way of life for Levi. He began to follow him, and he continued to follow him. He was a committed disciple. By the way, that's what discipleship is all about. In fact, discipleship means that we are a learner and a follower of the Messiah. We are called, in fact, to be Yeshua followers. When we are saved, it is not meant to be a static process, you know, which ends at salvation. You know, that's it. Can you imagine? I believe. Now leave me alone. That's not the picture of salvation in the Scriptures. When we accept Yeshua and are saved, the Scriptures expect us to walk with him and to follow after him. That's what discipleship is all about. It is a lifelong process of being a disciple, a Messiah follower, somebody who learns from Messiah, someone who sits at his feet. What a beautiful picture we have in that pericope passage about Martha and Mary. Remember? Not to belabor it, but you remember how Martha is so involved in the kitchen with the dishes and the hucking and the banging of, you know, you could just imagine her, right? And yet her sister, Miriam, right? What was he doing? She's sitting at his feet because she sat on his every word. She was a learner. She was a disciple. That's what it's about. And Yeshua, for his part, said, Miriam has chosen the better part, didn't he? Right? So that's what God's purpose is for each and every one of us is. You see, if we don't grow in our discipleship, we're shortchanging ourselves and we're undermining God's purposes in our lives. He has got great plans for us. He's got great things for us. And if we refuse to grow in our faith and walk with him, we lose out on the blessing. Simple as that, right? God wants disciples who are growing in their faith, disciples who are serving. Well, in this passage this morning, we note that following Yeshua often involves making a break with the past. And so it says, in fact, that Levi, forgive me if I go back and forward between the two. I know in English we like to call him Levi. In Hebrew, it's Levi. Okay, so if I keep using those terms, just know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the same guy, by the way. All right. So he left everything behind, including a very lucrative tax collecting business, and he followed Yeshua. Now, the time that I became a believer in my life, at that season, I was actually living a pretty destructive lifestyle, going nowhere very fast. And I needed, at that time, when Yeshua called me, I needed to make a decisive break with that lifestyle. Yeshua changed that for me. I was gradually, you know, I was probably not as quick as Levi. I didn't immediately get up and leave everything behind, but eventually I did. You see, when Yeshua calls us, we follow, don't we? So discipleship doesn't stop at salvation. It only starts there. It is an ongoing process and commitment. So one of our New Year's resolutions this year could be to leave something behind. But leave what behind? Well, it would probably be helpful for each and every one of us to identify something in our lives that is keeping us from enjoying a higher spiritual life. There's probably different things in each of our lives that are holding us back, right? And so it would probably be helpful to identify something and call it by name and say, Lord, that is something that in 2016 I am going to leave behind. I could unload. So the question is, is there a habit or practice that is either sinful, or maybe it's not so sinful, maybe it's sort of neutral, but we do a little bit too much of it, and it keeps us from enjoying the Lord more, right? Is there something that we could put behind us? Listen to how the author of Hebrews puts it in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. He says, "Let us also lay aside every encumbrance." And I love that word. It's so graphic, isn't it? You think of it as an encumbrance as, can you imagine this big burden on somebody's back, right? It's holding us down. It's holding us back. It's an encumbrance. And the author of Hebrews says, let us lay aside every encumbrance. And then he says, and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So what could be different in 2016 in your life and in my life? Levi got up, and it symbolically pictured his breaking with his life in the past. He was turning a new leaf. What do you and I need to get up from in 2016? And so it would be an excellent idea for us at the beginning of the new year to take stock of ourselves, to determine where we are with the Lord, where we want to be, and to make course corrections. Are there specific sins in our lives that rob us of the spiritual joy and of the spiritual power that could be ours, right? Are there specific sins in our lives that we're guilty of? Or are there resolutions that we can make? Are we guilty of idle chatter? Is our speech always seasoned with grace? Or do we sometimes verbalize speech that is unbecoming of a believer in Yeshua? How about our movie and TV watching preferences? Are there things that you and I need to get up from and leave behind? I think we each can fill in our own blanks, but the call to follow is a call to leave the sinful things behind and press on ahead. I'm sure that there remains a work in each one of us in this regard. So the first aspect we see in this passage about the call to discipleship is a call to follow. We are following Yeshua, and we need to leave behind the things, whether they be habits, whether they be lifestyles, whether they be bad companions, right? And keep us, that keep us from experiencing all that God wants us to experience, that keep us from living a God-pleasing and a God-centered life. Notice that there's also a second aspect to the call of discipleship in this passage, and that is a call to fellowship. See, we become believers, we're saved, and often we're content with that. Nothing more need be done, we think. We're in. Our names are bound up in glory. We're inscribed in the book. So we rest on our laurels, on our position, on past accomplishments. Levi, however, wanted more. He began to follow Yeshua, but not only that, he also desired fellowship with Messiah. It says in verse 28, in our passage, he left everything behind and he got up and began to follow him. And look at verse 29. And Levi, gave a big reception for who? For him in his house. Yeah, for Yeshua, exactly. Levi opened up his home. He invited Yeshua into his life and into his home. This is my home, he told Yeshua. These are my friends. And he invited Yeshua into his life and into his home. That is true fellowship with the Lord. When we invite Yeshua into our lives, when we invite him into our homes, when we invite him into our parenting, when we invite him into our marriages, that is part of discipleship. That is fellowship with the Lord, right? You see, Levi was not content with being saved. He wanted more. He invited Yeshua into his life. And so what are you and I doing to facilitate fellowship with the Lord in our lives? Are we making room for him? Or have we crowded out the Lord from our lives with all the things that we've made ourselves busy with? You know, that's possible, right? You know what? It's amazing how different life is today with technology. You know, You can't get away from you. You've got cell phones, right? Smartphones, email, faxes, right? We've got all this beckoning our attention. It's so easy to get distracted, and we crowd our lives with so many things that ends up shutting the Lord out, right? Levi invited the Lord into his home. He wanted fellowship with God. It was not enough for him that he was saved and a disciple, but he wanted fellowship with God. He wanted the Lord in his life. So he opened up his home. Scripture says, by the way, that our sins also crowd God out, right? God is not pleased when we sin. And so it sabotages our fellowship with God. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about husbands, and it says that the way they treat their wives actually has an effect on their prayer lives. Did you know that? Right? If we don't treat our wives with the respect that they deserve, with the grace that they deserve as fellow believers, it says that our prayers will be hindered. Sin has a way of choking out the fellowship of God in our lives. So what can we do in 2016 to promote our fellowship with God? Maybe we can resolve to read the Word more, the Bible, right? There are reading plans. This is the best time, by the way, to start off with a read through the Bible in a year plan. Or maybe we could pray more this year. But I am certain that there's things that you and I could do to promote our time of fellowship with God. Maybe we could fellowship with each other more often. So we need to seek opportunities. Maybe we could seek more opportunities for service here at Beth Messiah. Notice there's a third aspect of the call to discipleship in our passage, and it is a call to fruit bearing. Look at verse 29 again. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house, and there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with them. Now, how do you think that great crowd got there? He invited them. Exactly. Right? He was bringing Yeshua into his home. He had experienced the wonder of salvation. And he had his friends, albeit, you know, they were also tax collectors and sinners, you know, the riffraff in society. But he wanted them to have what he had. He wanted to bear fruit not only in his life, but in the lives of those who were his friends, his companions, his family. He wanted to bear fruit among others. Right? And so the call of discipleship is not only a call to follow, it is not only a call to fellowship with the Lord, but it's also a call toward fruit bearing. And that's what Levi did. He invited his friends. He wanted them to come to know Yeshua too. See, it was not enough for Levi to be concerned with himself alone. He didn't want to hoard the blessings. He wanted his other friends to come to know the eternal life. He sought their welfare and salvation. Think about his former life, by the way. Here he was, a former tax collector. He probably defrauded a lot of people and hurt others. Now he was trying to be an influence for good and help in the lives of others. Here's a guy who's fruit-bearing. He's fruitful. He's a man who was involved in faithful service. He was now a soul winner, right? He didn't hoard the fruit in his own life. He wanted to bear fruit in the lives of others. Question. Have we become complacent in that most important area of sharing our faith and the gospel with others? Is that an area, evangelism, where we could resolve to be more faithful in 2016? Right? I dare say we probably could. Notice lastly, there is a fourth aspect of the call to discipleship, and that is it is a call to repentance. Look at verse 29. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house, and there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners?" And Yeshua answered and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, I imagine when he said those words, it was sort of tongue-in-cheek. Because you know what? He had come for the Pharisees, too. They also were sinners. but they didn't recognize it. They were blind to it, right? They didn't see their own sin. They might well have worn badges that said, I've got it all together, no repentance needed here, right? See, people who can't see their own need have no use for and have no need for repentance. You probably heard of the noted Christian author, philosopher, teacher C.S. Lewis. Well, he once wrote, and I quote, Christianity tells people to repent and promises them forgiveness. And then he says, it has nothing to say to people who do not know that they have done anything to repent of and who do not feel that they need any forgiveness. Right? You see, Levi realized ultimately that Messiah's call is a call to repentance. Repentance in our own lives and repentance from others. So when he was called initially, Levi left his past life behind. But you know what? Repentance didn't stop there. It is a continuing affair. I have things that I need to repent of. And if I might be bold enough to say, you have things that you need to repent of. If we are honest, we know that there are areas of our lives, there are habits in our lives, there are patterns that we have that are displeasing to God and that he would like us to turn from. Because they make us less effective than we could be. They are displeasing to God, those habits. They hinder our relationships. They hinder our fellowship with God. They rob us of our joy. They rob us of spiritual vitality and power in our lives. So it behooves ourselves to ask the question, as we move into 2016, is there anything that I need to repent of, Lord? See, repentance is the expected response to Yeshua's gracious call to discipleship. Yeshua's whole mission, he says here, was to call sinners to repentance. In fact, the Great Commission is a call to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in Yeshua's name to the whole world. Being a disciple means that we are sensitive to Yeshua's mission. He came, he desires to call the sick to repentance. Another scripture says he came to seek and save that which was lost. He calls people to repentance of life. And by the way, that's not only from people who are lost. That's also from the saved, from us. He calls us to repentance of life. Repentance in an ongoing way. We haven't fully yet conquered sin. It still resides in us, doesn't it? So when we consider our spiritual lives, you and I can easily fret over blown opportunities. We can become despondent over our shortcomings and our failures, but it doesn't help to cry over spilled milk. In Philippians 3, Paul broke with his past, and he said, forgetting what lay behind, he said, he pressed on toward the upward call, toward the prize of the upward call of God, right? Didn't he? That was Paul. And if Paul can do that, so can we. Abraham, remember when he was called? And I always love that scripture. You see it in Genesis, but you also see it in Hebrews 11. When he was called, he went up and got going to the land that God only said, I will show you when you get there. Didn't tell him a whole lot about it. But Abraham followed that call on his life when God called him. That's what being disciples of God and disciples of Messiah Yeshua is all about. Someone once said, by the way, every saint has a past and every sinner a future. John R. Rice said this. He said, no matter what a man's past may have been, his future is spotless. So my question this morning as we come to a close is, dare we attempt more for the Lord in 2016? I would encourage every one of us, including me, to resolve to do so. May 2016 be the year that all of us draw nearer to the Lord. My question is, what's your New Year's resolution this morning? Let's pray. Lord, Father, we thank you, Father, for the new year. We thank you for your faithfulness in bringing us to this season. We pray, Lord, that we would all, each and every one of us, in our own hearts, determine how you would have us to move forward with you, to press on ahead, to cut out the distractions in our lives, to draw closer to you, to seek more of you in our lives. Scripture says that those who seek your kingdom and your righteousness, all things will be added unto them. Help us to make you the priority in 2016. Help us, Lord, to cultivate our spiritual lives with you, to draw closer to you, to feed on your word, to care more for each other, and to follow you. We thank you that we know that it's all about following Yeshua. Might we be disciples that you might be proud of in 2016. We thank you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.